Welcome to Day Zero Update for November 2nd, 2025. I'm your host, Chris Elogi.
And I'm Brandon Perkins.
And yeah, we've got plenty of news for today. Along with some things coming out in the near future, we got some retro news as a number of companies are bringing PS1 games to current consoles. With some interesting choices. We got a bunch of layoff news, as well as, let's say, Nintendo winning a lawsuit against a very dumb person. Along with that, we got a couple showcases that happened. We'll kind of work through that stuff pretty quickly. There wasn't a ton of things there, but some interesting stuff got shown off. So we'll get through all that. But before we start, we'll talk about what we've been playing. And yeah, I'll kick it off here. I've been playing some of the Mortal Kombat Legacy Collection, which is the new digital Eclipse Collection that covers the essentially like the 90s era of Mortal Kombat. Basically, the first four arcade games, just console versions of those, and a few other games from that era. Which includes like a bunch of handheld games, which Mortal Kombat was not well suited for. Being a four button fighting game and going to a platform that has two buttons, not really great. But there are interesting games, sort of testing out the ability to adapt to those platforms. You get Super Nintendo and Genesis versions of the other games, as well as the trilogy, and you get the two PS1 spin-offs that are both kind of what if we did action games in this franchise? One more trying to emulate the way that the fighting games played and turn it into a side-scrolling beat-em-up kind of thing that does not work out so well. I played a bit of that and was like, oh, okay. This, as somebody that's not great at playing Mortal Kombat in any sort of like competitive sense, this is also a challenge. They do allow you to have the the turn button map to the right stick, which I don't think is a great quality of life ish or help there, because it's still like, this is not a button I would think that needs to be in a game like this, that you need to tell the character to turn around. So I end up just jumping a lot, because usually when you jump over the enemy, they turn around automatically. Not every time, but enough to be a better option for me. So you really kind of learn what kind of game that is when you get to the first, the end of the first level, and you have to find a way down off the ledge. And it's like, you think just jump, and nope, it'll kill you right there. You have to find a very specific way to get down that is just kind of hilarious, that it must just be a joke of a thing they came up with. Because it's not a thing that's very obvious. So that's a weird little thing. And then you get to a bunch of like floating platforms kind of area that, let's say, really tests the limits of the platforming capabilities of that game. Especially with like rotating platforms that you need to specifically jump on at the right time. Luckily, you have rewind in this game with this collection, so that's a thing you can try as much as you want. But this game has some great FMV bullshit in this. A lot of fun little cutscenes, and even just, I was like, do they have one for falling off ledges? And it's like,
yep. They have two, in fact.
Yeah.
They have one specifically for the early layer where you're in the wind wind temple and one where you're at the fire temple.
Yeah.
And it's hilarious because the way the explosion happens is like he ripped a huge, huge fart as he fell into the lava.
Yeah. And luckily with that game, they have options that you can use to give yourself a bunch of health potions.
Yeah, because you're going to need it.
Yeah. And a bunch of lives so that you're not necessarily working on the scale that they are, that the game was designed for.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's the sort of game that's is incredibly hard if you're not good at it, which I imagine most people are not good at it.
Mm-hmm.
Then I played the other game, Special Forces, and like that's more of a straightforward beat 'em up. It's not a very good one, but it's more than playable. Especially, I forget if I turned on an option for this, but I had like 1,000 bullets for every gun,
mm-hmm.
so it's just like, all right, I can just go around and shoot dudes and not have to worry about dealing with fighting them so much. So I did plenty of that as well. Which it's like 1,000 bullets for like the submachine gun and the shotgun, not a lot, but having 1,000, rockets for the rocket launcher, the grenade launcher, that's all just good. Though they have some weird like breakable walls that like the rocket launcher doesn't work on, and I'm like, this doesn't make sense. You have to go get the detonator thing that doesn't work like anything else in the game.
Mm-hmm.
You have to specifically go in the menus, like activate it, like you're going to switch to it, and it just drops it right there. And then it blows up the wall so you can go through it. And it's like, it's a little unintuitive when you have, two other weapons that can blow things up.
Mm-hmm.
It seems like it should be able to do it, but otherwise, that's a very weird game because it's essentially like, what if Jax was a secret agent, and his solution to everything is to beat up or shoot people?
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, all right, this doesn't seem like what you would want out of this guy, but okay. The bad guy is Kano, though you face his underlings, I guess, like a guy named No Face and a few others, which is, it's more than playable, but it's just, yeah, you're dealing with a lot of what a PS1 era beat 'em up looked like.
Mm-hmm.
Which does involve a good bit of like first person camera looking around for secrets and such. But yeah, that one's fine for what it is. The story stuff they tell and just like cutscenes, almost like text kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I want to say the UI is full of text that is in the like alarm clock font,
mm-hmm.
which is like, we didn't need this. I can tell this is made in the 90s, but
yeah,
nobody needs that kind of font for an entire game.
Mm.
Like Superman 64, but for every bit of text. Mm. So there's that. What else did I play? I played the GBA version of Deadly Alliance, I think it was, the PS2 game, which they said they added the GBA games mostly because they had room for it and had those cleared and kind of added those on as like an extra little bonus. And that game sure does not play well with two buttons.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, the other games, it's, punch and kick for those buttons. Whereas here, it's kind of like you still have those, but you also have a weapon and expects you to do, almost dragon punch like movements with the D-pad to go with them. And it's like for 6 or 7 moves total that you have. And so it just kind of makes for a weird experience. It's doable, but it's like, hey, what if we put Soul Calibur on a GBA? And it's like, yeah, that wouldn't work super well. But that still has the crypt in it. But you have to play, a bunch of it to get all the currency for that.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that's a game you can play. But it has all the main arcade games, all the good stuff. I haven't played any of that stuff yet. Mm-hmm. I have been looking at some of The documentary stuff, which I am liking a lot. I haven't gotten super far into it yet, but they definitely do have, people you would expect as like Mortal Kombat historians, like Jeff Gerstmann shows up pretty early. There's a few other people like that, and get to, Ed Boon, which they talk a bit in the first couple about where he came from, which he talked about, doing programming in BASIC and all that, and kind of getting hired at Bally, which he thought was going to work on video games, and realized that was pinballs, pinball stuff, and liked that a lot because he got to meet, a lot of great designers and such, like Eugene Jarvis, who were working on arcade games at that time, and kind of eventually gets pulled over to the video game side. But yeah, he worked on a bunch of pinball stuff early on, including being the voice of the puppet in, I forget what the game's called. Yeah, he got to do a bunch of cool stuff there that is pretty neat. And they have a bunch of, good documents and such for backing up a lot of this stuff. And they do have a cool thing where they call their own version of the Crypt, which is basically just a lore guide for all the characters in Mortal Kombat. It'll kind of show you what games they were in, what their, story is as part of those games, and let you kind of see that stuff and learn how their arcade campaigns go.
Yeah.
And all that. And yeah, it's a really neat thing to add in there. Especially because it can get a bit complicated trying to keep track of it all.
Especially once you get up to around the Deadly Alliance era started, and it gets all the way to Armageddon. It's there's just it gets overloaded with too many characters.
Yeah, though this one just sticks to the first four.
Yeah,
That stuff, so you can kind of see where all that goes. But yeah, that is kind of the thing there. It seems like the online multiplayer is maybe the weakest part of this right now, because it's all quick play. And it seems like there's some network issues there that they're working on.
Yeah.
Among other things. It seems like with review codes and such they sent out reviewer guide and highlighting updates they were planning for the first few months here. The things they would add, so that's definitely a big focus for them. But yeah, that collection's pretty cool. And as somebody that's not going to play any of the multiplayer stuff, that's perfectly fine for me. Get to go through all this story stuff and play some of these weird games. They have a lot of trophies are focused on beating the arcade modes in a bunch of the arcade games. They do have some for the Sub-Zero game and Special Forces. So they do want you to play through that stuff. Though the extra game options they have are pretty good for that. And a lot of the games they have the option to show you combos and such that you can do, which is really helpful when you're playing a Game Boy game. You get to the fatality and you're trying to look through the move list for that. They just tell you the fatality, which is just one move. Really, I think when I was playing it with Scorpion, it was just back forward and X or whatever it is, and it's just all right, he shoots the spear at them and just kind of pulls it until they fall over. And it's okay, yeah, that seems like what a Game Boy could handle from these games. That's the same one that they have on the GBA as well. I was this kind of weird looking, 2D, 3D character model kind of just falls over.
Yep.
And it's not much resolution here for that. So there you go. So that's a cool collection. It's on everything, I believe, at this point. The Switch version might be the weakest one. But yeah, $50 for that. Decent price. But you can wait on sales if you need to. There's that. Let's see, you've been playing more Halls of Torment, working towards unlocking the Boglands. That's unlocked by a bit of a weird way where you have to get all the, not all of them, but you have to get a bunch of the herbs you need for the different potions you can get. So I'm working towards that. Though I had it crash the other day for the first time in the middle of a run, which was annoying. But otherwise, still enjoying that a lot. I've been playing more Power Wash Simulator 2. I'm around like the 20 or 21st job in that game. Really enjoying it a lot. Just finished a cool job that makes good use of the abseil in it. That is part of the park stuff they're doing. And sort of a lot of these jobs are focused on this Town of the Year thing that's going on. As a bunch of these different towns want to get these cool parts of their city cleaned up and ready for whoever's going to be judging this stuff. And all that. So yeah, I finished up that and then started working on a $3,000 job. That is also going to be a big indoor building to clean. I think the first one I've seen of that kind. I'm looking forward to cleaning some of that up, but enjoying that still. Also been playing more Ball Pit. Where I've been working on unlocking stuff. I've unlocked all the characters I think I can do right now. I think is six that I have right now. One of which is like he's like a scientist who's so smart that essentially they pick the upgrades and perks and such that they want. So you don't get to pick any of that stuff. Which coincidentally got me to a victory on the stage I was playing. So I was like, all right, this seems all right. Let this, you know, let the character pick kind of thing ended up working out. Which I've been trying to rework the little base area to try to get my buildings unlocked a little faster because you need to hit them with the characters when you're harvesting stuff. I've basically been just setting up like tunnels for the building so that they get hit a bunch versus trying to set them up like a more rational looking place. So, but still enjoying that a lot. And what else have I been playing here? I played the Wear Cleaner for Halloween, which is a free game on Steam. It's pretty cool. Essentially, you're playing this dude who can. Who was working at this office space that is doing cleaning. And by cleaning, I mean he sprays water all over the place, and then the dirt or whatever disappears. It's kind of like a 2D isometric kind of game. And after the first job, you kind of go home and find this this email from... your boss, it tells you that, you know, everybody is required to work midnights for the next week to get job, you know, whatever their jobs are done. So that means that you need to work and then you turn into a werewolf at midnight. And then you realize rent is due in a week. So you need to go to work and not do werewolf stuff.
Yeah.
So it's like, all right, capitalism is the true monster here. So you need to go back to work. And as you do it, you walk by the security guy who's in a room. You talk through like a little speaker thing. And
yeah,
he gets hints that there's some creature that's been in the office because he finds hair or fur. And it's increasingly losing his mind trying to figure out what the problem is. And, you know, by the end... which is like seven stages. He figures out it's you. And so you go on this big kind of boss fight, which is not really a boss fight. Basically, you have like two areas to clean. And he has like a radar thing that can spot you. So he sort of slowly makes his way over towards you. And you're just trying to get these two areas clean and get out. Get to an exit. And there's a whole thing that happens there. But yeah, you're sneaking through this office as a werewolf, trying to clean up things and not being spotted by any of the people in the office. If you do, you go and kill them.
Mm-hmm.
And then that adds to the things you need to clean. So it's very, very kind of arcadey. Like this is like a 5 minutes or less job for each of the stages. So it's a game you can easily beat in maybe like 25, 30 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a lot of achievements that will get you to replay things, you know, trying to get through without killing anybody. Getting 5 stars in all the stages, finding all the collectibles and a bunch of extra stuff like that. That is pretty cool. So yeah, that is free. Really well done game. It made by a pretty small team, but yeah, really well done. Definitely recommend it if you're looking for stuff to play on Steam or even on a Steam Deck. It all plays pretty well for that. So yeah, that's the Wear Cleaner. And the last one, I've been playing some Clair Obscur Expedition 33.
Mm-hmm.
I ended up buying it on PS5 when it was on sale.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, I don't want to try to force myself to play it quickly on Game Pass while my subscription's almost empty or almost out. So I've been playing that. I'm past where I was before on the Xbox version, which is getting out of the whatever the place where Mael is holed up in.
Yeah.
So now I have 3 people, and this time around I realize there's an extra mechanic for equipping the Pictos, because after you equip a Picto and you do 4 fights with it, it's sort of unlocked to equip in a different part of the menu that is easy to miss. I never noticed it the first time. So that lets you essentially equip a bunch of Pictos, because you have the ones that are actively equipped and you have these ones you're spending these points on to equip. And, you know, higher tier ones have a higher cost to them and lower tier ones have a lower cost. So you're kind of juggling for some of that, because some of them are easier just to equip on you directly versus having the points to spend there. But it seems like there's items to spend that can increase how much you can equip and all that. So I'm working my way around on that stuff. But yeah, I've been working through that area where we found the wreck of one of the previous expeditions and dealing with all the stuff that goes on there.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, enjoying that a lot. Pretty fun still. They just introduced the ability to jump, which is a weird thing to have in this kind of game, but still been good. So yeah, looking forward to playing some more of that. But yeah, that's been pretty much what I've been doing. So how about you, Brandon?
Well, as for me, one of the things I'm doing is I'm still playing the Silent Hill 2 remake. I've gotten much further in that game now. I have gotten past Brookhaven Hospital. I've also finished the Otherworld Hospital part of it. I'm now at the Silent Hill Historical Society building, which is kind of like a mini museum. Before, you know, going into basically this long, like, tunnel that you're supposed to go into. I stopped before that. But yeah, one of the things about this game that honestly, it just how they took the original, which was already like insanely creepy, and made it even creepier in just all these different ways. One of the big things that they did has to do with the radio. See, in Silent Hill games, typically, one of the first items that a character gets is a small, like, portable radio. And what it does is that it's essentially how you detect if, like, a monster is nearby, because if one is, it'll, like, start going crazy with, like, static. One of the things they did for the, at least for, I'm guessing this is the same for others too, but they decided to take the radio static, and instead of having it like in the game, it's actually in comes out of the DualSense controller, which is incredibly nerve-wracking. Because here's the thing. Like I said, when a monster gets near you, it like sets off the static. But the thing is, you don't know like what exactly kind of monster is coming at you. It can be, you know, it can be like one of the standard monsters. It can be, you know, like it can be one of the bubblehead nurses who are like one of the strongest enemies in the game. Or it could even be like one of those like little giant beetles that show up and walk around the place, and they can cause havoc because one, they're really hard to spot, and two, you know, even though they're really hard to spot, they make the radio go crazy. So it's like you're constantly looking for the enemy, but you can't find it because those little bastards are just really hard to track down. But the thing is, there are some enemies like that don't even set off the radio at all until you actually see them or until they actually attack, like the mannequins, for example, which anybody who remembers Silent Hill 2, the mannequins, they were basically like these, it was like two pairs of legs that were like sewed together at the torso, those guys. They do not set off the alarm until they attack you. And they have a tendency to like hide around corners, or a lot of them will also, and this is particularly infuriating, some of them will like play dead and pop up at you before you have a chance to actually attack them. So like that, no matter what, you are always on edge when you're playing this game. And like the improved visuals and everything just makes it even more intense, because, you know, like the original was, like I said, it was PS2 graphics. So it wasn't like the best looking game in the world, but back then it was pretty freaking intense, and even years later it still is. But with the improved graphics, they somehow managed to make everything even spookier. And I can't even get, I only briefly touched about the sound design. It's especially bad if you're playing that game with headphones, because you're constantly hearing like scratches and voices and shit all around you. And like the, you know, Pyramid Head, who's become like the iconic monster of the Silent Hill franchise, he only canonically like shows up in the game a couple of times, but you will constantly like hear like his, you know, huge sword thing like scraping across the surface, no matter, in all types of places all over the game, just sort of giving this illusion that like he's always nearby. But yeah, that game is amazing, and I am hoping to finish it eventually, because I actually never finished the original Silent Hill 2. I always either lost interest or I just got too spooked out, because that game basically has all of my biggest fears wrapped up into one package. But, and the other thing I'm doing is, yes, I'm also playing Power Wash Simulator 2. Of course, I'm not nearly as far into it as Chris is, because I've only been playing it for the last, I'm going to say, 2-3 days. But I'm currently at the lodge for the, forgot what it's called, but it's the
campsite.
No, I finished the campsite. It's the lodge for the Trilobite Society or something like that. I know that because like they got like a bunch of trilobite statues all over it. And basically like it's the first like really big job of the game where it's like this, you know, it's not just a vehicle or like a pool or whatever. It's like an entire building that requires you to like actually climb over and around it to clean it up. And, you know, once again, like I said last time, that freaking soap dispenser attachment is a game changer as far as that game is concerned, because if you can like just get a nice layer of that stuff on pretty much any surface, and then all you have to do is just spray it with like the widest spraying attachment possible, and it's like it just melts off. And of course, I did not know that that was actually a thing until the second job. So I went through the whole first job not realizing that I could actually use that while cleaning up that stupid antiques van. But yeah, that game, as usual, is still a lot of fun. And like I said last time, one of the things that I do think is pretty neat is that they're a lot more cagey about the scale of the jobs that you're involved in. The second job is like this thing where it's like you eventually find out that it's like a pop-up restroom that's like in the middle of the street that was apparently made back in the early 2000s or something that they completely forgot about, which knowing where this game takes place in is totally something I can inspect happening. But you don't really know exactly what it is. All the info tells you is that it's a piece of old convenience, and that's about it. But slowly you start to wash off like the LED sign that's got open on it, and then like the area around it, and then this red like lid like thing you're on top of, and then it pops up, and you start like, oh, it's basically a pop-up restroom that hasn't been washed in like 15 years. But yeah, and of course, the being that it's literally only the second job, it's also unlike in the first game where you don't really do a inside job like until like you're midway through the game. They decide to just go ahead and pull off the band-aid at the second job the game throws at you. But again, the soap attachment helps. But yeah, that's what I've been playing.
All right, so yeah, let's get to some news here. And first up, we have the PS Plus Essential lineup for the month of November, as it's a new month here. And yeah, we got some interesting choices here. For the first one, the big one is for the PS5 and PS4, it's Stray, that finally gets upgraded to one a more permanent place where you can request, or claim it and be able to play as long as you have a subscription, versus before it was on Ascent or Extra, so it was only available for as long as it was there. And yeah, that's a fun game. You're playing as a cat who's kind of in this almost cyberpunk city kind of thing that you're trying to get through and figure out your way back to safety, but for the time being, you have to deal with these robots and such. And it's a very cool game if you have not played it before. So there's that. Let's see, for the PS4, or no, for PS5, EA Sports WRC 24, their last World Rally Championship game. Is going to be their final one since they, I believe, have let their license lapse on that. Which isn't a huge surprise. That's not a particular motorsport that has a huge video game audience to make on the scale that EA, invests into their sports games. But that one is supposed to be a very good one of those, so that's worth checking out. Has a bunch of content in it, it's worth checking out. So yeah, that looks neat. And then for PS5 and PS4, Totally Accurate Battle Simulator. That's a very fun, silly kind of simulator game where you are basically setting up two different groups of enemies and setting them to fight each other and see who wins as they kind of wobble against each other and whatnot, depending on what sort of creatures they are, people or mythological beings or whatever it is. That's a fun one to play. I just screw around with for a while and see what kind of situations you can create. So yeah, that's cool, and that's a decent lineup there. Three very different games there. Check out. So yeah, there you go.
Yeah, I'll probably give Stray a try at some point.
Yeah, but yeah, there you go. Let's see, we got a new update for Vampire Survivors. that is seems like a very ridiculous update. They've announced it's out now. Essentially, it's part an update with Balatro content in it. In partnership with Local Funk and Playstack. The anti-chamber updates is in the game, brings four new characters to the game. Jimbo, Kaneo, Chikot, and Perkio, with four new weapons and evolutions in the form of Infernalatro, Gros Michel, Fibonacci Seltzer, and the Celestial Booster. And yeah, they have the new stage called the anti-chamber as part of this. Saw the trailer for this, and it's like, yeah, that seems like the nonsense you would bring in from Balatro. A lot of good UI stuff going on there, where we'll have like number trackers that fly over the enemies to just gives you a bunch of nonsense numbers like that. So that's fun. But they're also adding, server rots. Which is a new form of power creep that is being currently tested through Secretino in the base Vampire Survivors game. These are vaguely similar to Arcana cards, but are themed after characters from Vampire Survivors and provide different types of bonuses. We're still adding a bunch of weird stuff. And also as part of this is more content for the Castlevania expansion. 16 new characters. That they say are even more obscure than the last drop of characters. A new adventure to go with them. 16 new weapons and weapon unions and 12 new music tracks, which is free to people that have the Castlevania DLC. So yeah, that looks really cool. And yeah, another big aspect. Let's see. Yeah, they're also adding online co-op for everybody. So yeah, you can roam around the map as much as you want without being tethered to your co-op partner on the screen. I think before it was kind of a local co-op thing where you kind of had to stay on the screen, I think. And yeah, that's neat. More big stuff. They also tease that there are two more big updates they are going to be revealing soon. So yeah, that's wild. So yeah, more nonsense for your nonsense game. So yeah, there you go.
Yeah,
we got a date here for an interesting game, Milano's Odd Job Collection, a PS1 port of a Japanese game that did not make it over originally, but was a really interesting game. And so yeah, it'll be out on PlayStation, Xbox, Switch 2, and PC on December 9th. For $14.99, which yeah, that's pretty cool. Yeah, that'll be we'll see. Yeah, see a full localization for this game, and to make it a pretty neat sort of first time launch here in the West. So that looks cool. So yeah, there you go.
Yep,
that'll be out next month.
We
did get a bit of a surprise from Nintendo. They announced their next big game that's getting a Switch 2 edition. And it is Animal Crossing New Horizons. It's finally going to be getting a Switch 2 upgrade on January 15th. Unlike their other upgrades, this one is only $4.99 instead of $10 or $20. But it is adding a bunch of new stuff to the game. There's also a free update, so if you don't have a Switch 2 and would still like some new stuff, they have announced some of that as well. For the Switch 2 version specifically, they have improved resolution, so it's 4K in TV mode. So it'll be less aliased and all that. It supports mouse controls for the decoration stuff. Yeah, creating custom designs, and even composing handwritten bulletin board messages. You can locate residents by calling their names using the in-game megaphone item and the built-in microphone on the Switch 2. Online sessions can support 12 players now. If everybody is on the Switch 2 edition, so you need everybody needs to be on that.
Yeah.
You can also play with friends with camera play. But yeah, having a USB camera plugged into your Switch too, so you can see their face while you're playing.
Mm-hmm.
For that, so yeah, if you don't have New Horizons, they'll be selling this is one package for $64.99.
Mm-hmm.
But if you already have the game, the upgrade pack, as I said, is
$4.99.
Mm-hmm. So taking pre-orders for that stuff right now if you want. And yeah, the free updates they're adding includes, let's see. Yeah, a new resort hotel is opening mm-hmm. on the pier, run by Cap'n's family. Mm. Yeah, to bring in guests from off the island, you help out by decorating guest rooms and more. Mm. Plus, finding furniture and clothing at the souvenir shop and dress up mannequins with outfits that guests can wear.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. Yeah, Rossetti has a convenient reset service to help tidy up your island.
Mm.
You can now upgrade your home storage to hold up to 9,000 items and store trees, shrubs, and flowers there too,
mm-hmm.
Which is good. You got to store your shit. Because I think my island right now that I haven't touched in like 4 or 5 years,
yeah,
I literally just drop stuff out on the island.
Mm-hmm.
Like, well, this nobody's going to steal this, so that's good. Just fine. Let's see, if you have an NSO membership, you can design and save up to 3 islands and play with friends online.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, select the size and layout of the island, build and design it collaboratively, access your inventory and decorate, plus invite residents from your home island.
Mm-hmm.
So there's that, and then they have more collaboration stuff here. You can collect Nintendo items like the Ultra Hand and Nintendo consoles in-game to add some classic flair to your island. NSO members can select classic Nintendo titles in-game
mm-hmm. when
interacting with specific Nintendo console items too. There's also Lego items that will be making their debut with the updates, and you can use select Zelda and Splatoon series amiibo to invite certain characters and unlock various items inspired by those series. So, yeah, they're adding a lot to this game for, you know, it mm-hmm. being probably like 3 or 4 years since their last big DLC and content updates,
mm-hmm.
Which, yeah. Better late than never, but yeah, more reason to come back and play some more of that. So yeah, good.
Mm-hmm.
If they got a new game coming as well, but this will be probably good to have for the time being.
Yeah. Honestly, I'm, you know, not surprised that Nintendo's still thinking about that game, considering that game basically came out, honestly, at the perfect time, inadvertently.
Yeah.
Because it came out right when the pandemic hit and all the lockdowns started. And so we were all kind of all locked up in our houses going crazy for something to do. And here you had one.
Yeah. Yeah, it was kind of one of the games of the pandemic.
Yeah. The other one was Doom Eternal, oddly enough.
Yeah. So yeah, there you go for that. That'll be out early next year.
Mm-hmm.
Technically, in only about 2 months, which is not great. Yeah. So yeah, we got some retro news here. Edia, a company that I don't think I've heard of before, has announced that mm-hmm. they are porting the Battle Arena Toshinden games to modern platforms.
Yeah.
1, 2, and 3. Yeah, they entered into a licensing agreement with Takara Tomy
mm-hmm.
To port those 3D fighting games to... I assume all the major platforms here.
Yeah.
Yeah, the first game was a launch title for the PS1
mm-hmm.
back in the day and was kind of one of the big highlights of the launch, because it's like, well, here's a big 3D three D fighter that you can enjoy on your PlayStation. It doesn't look like, you know, what Virtua Fighter 2 does on a Genesis and all that.
Mm-hmm.
The other two kind of didn't really have as much of an impression on people, but
yeah,
but they had their place,
yeah,
with that. So yeah,
I especially remember that first game fondly because it was the first PlayStation game I ever played, because that game came out at a time when like the concept of like a weapons fighter was still very new and novel as an idea. Because obviously, I think, you know, the Samurai Showdown had come out at that point, too. But like that was a two-dimensional game. You know, this was like up there with like, you know, Virtua Fighter or Tekken or one of those. But yeah, it never really caught on the way sort of the other games did. But it definitely was like a pretty good series of games either way.
Yeah. So yeah, you'll be able to check those out and have a nice time. See what was one of the bigger sort of minor franchises for fighting games there.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't, you know, Street Fighter or Tekken on those early days. So
mm-hmm.
there's that. The other bit of PS1 news we have is that Cubite, Cubite Interactive has announced that they have added PS1 support to their emulation.
Mm-hmm.
And they've announced three titles that they are working on right now.
Mm-hmm.
One is called Invasion from Beyond from 1998. That is, just kind of a basic like action game kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Seems like it had game rankings about a 62% average, so like an okay game. But yeah, that's one. There's Motor Mash from 1997.
Mm-hmm.
That is kind of a top-down racing game.
Yeah.
That looks pretty decent
mm-hmm.
for what it is. So there's that. And then one from 1997, which I think you might know more because the box art is pretty unique and stands out pretty well. Is it looking like it's a red and black like barcode with one written under it,
mm-hmm.
Which was a Visual Concepts game.
Yep.
That, was kind of a sister game to, I forget what the other one they worked on is. Is it the Bruce Willis game?
Mm-hmm.
I think it is. Let me double check here. I don't know. I don't know what game I was thinking of here. But yeah, it's kind of a 3D platform shooter,
mm-hmm.
In that sense where you're just fighting a bunch of enemies that has a dynamic camera to it,
mm-hmm.
that shifts around. And yeah, you are playing as a character named John Kane.
Mm.
He has a barcode on his neck. So like a early Hitman kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, he's trying to figure out who he is, but in the process is killing a ton of people. So
yep,
he's doing what he wants there. So yeah, that's one that's got a pretty solid review score here, 76% average mm-hmm. on game rankings. So got some neat stuff to it.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, that's an interesting selection. They're obviously not the sort of company that's going to get big names
mm-hmm.
For the PS1. So I'm not mm-hmm. too surprised none of these are really big known titles, but I'm sure there'll be some people that'll be interested in some of these.
Mm.
So yeah, there you go. More retro games coming.
Yeah.
And speaking of retro games, people have been wanting an NBA Street kind of game. And it seems like we're going to be getting something like that called NBA The Run.
Mm-hmm.
This was announced last year as a game called The Run Got Next.
Mm-hmm.
By Play Studios, which has former devs from EA, as well as some other studios, eventually they seems like they got in contact with somebody from the NBA and they were offered the ability to work on it as an official NBA game.
Mm-hmm.
And so they made the formal announcement this week of the new name and a bunch of screenshots and a trailer, early teaser trailer for it. It looks pretty neat. They've got the DJ Bobito Garcia, mm-hmm. who's the voice for NBA Street Volume 2, to do work here. So, some more ties to the NBA Street games.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully they pull this off. Because, it seems like they are doing something that people have been wanting for.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like 10, 15 years at this point.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah. Thing is, I've never been much of a sports gamer, but I am glad that stuff like this is making a comeback.
Yeah. So yeah, that's cool.
Hmm.
Hope that works out. But yeah, let's get to some industry news, as we got a bunch of bummer stuff going on here. It seems like Heart Machine is laying off some more employees for the second time this month. Just before Possessor is out on November 11th. So it seems probably grim unless that game does incredibly well. And even then, it's being published by Devolver Digital, so it's not necessarily like they're going to get all of the money from it. Seems like they'll probably end up shutting down fully at some point here in the near future. Because at least four people were laid off this past week. And yeah, it seems like we don't know necessarily how many people were laid off in the previous wave or even in this wave. It does seem like it's a good chunk of the studio. We wish them the best, but yeah, not really great to hear of more layoffs. It's not really what a healthy studio is gonna do, especially ahead of a game's launch. And them working on Hyperlight Breaker, sort of as that goes to 1.0, and all that. So yeah, sad to see.
I mean, it sucks, but I mean, this is just where the industry is right now. Everything's retracting.
Yeah, especially if you're a studio that's not, doing super well right now. Your game isn't doing incredibly well. You're most likely scraping the bottom of the barrel, trying to find funding to keep going, or having to lay off people in the meantime. But even companies like Amazon can't stay afloat forever, as they announced a ton of layoffs for the company overall. But it seems like that will also affect their gaming division. Described here as a significant amount of our first party AAA game development work, specifically around MMOs with Amazon Game Studios, which, yeah, they were announced to be working on the Lord of the Rings MMO. No idea if that's gonna keep going or whatnot. Yeah, let's see. Amazon head of games, Twitch, and audio, Steve Boomer, an email to staff here. "While we're proud of our successes in first-party AAA game development and publishing, we have made the difficult decision to halt a significant amount of our first-party AAA game development work, specifically around MMOs within Amazon Game Studios, including making significant role reductions in our studios in Irvine and San Diego, as well as our central publishing team." Especially not great for the sort of Western MMO market.
No, it ain't.
So yeah, want to see where what else is going to be happening as a result of this. But we did have one bit of a sign on this. Their MMO New World is going to be done getting official support. They announced that the last update is going to be the last one for it. I'm trying to see what the at Nighthaven. That'll be its last big content drop. It came out recently. They've made that free for all PC players, as has the game's Rise of the Angry Earth expansion, which is needed to play Nighthaven. So at least doing that is like a little mea culpa. But it seems like they are at least committed to keeping the game open to play for the next year or so. At least through 2026. So if you're looking to jump into something, at least this is something that's not going to get a ton of content to make your sort of road to finishing it super long. But there's that. But yeah, they also made a console version that was called, what was it, Aeternum? Something like that. It came out last year.
Yeah, and I think it's actually available on PS Plus too.
So yeah, that's sad to see, but that's game has not been doing as well as it did initially. I'm not really a huge surprise on that being something they want to wind down. We'll see if that Lord of the Rings game gets canned or something, but yeah, not really a great time to be working on Amazon and their game division. As they're laying off a ton of people and winding down a bunch of their work. I'm sure we'll find out more if they're canceling other projects here in the near future as a result of this. But yeah, there's your Amazon news.
Yep. Yeah. And then we got this bullshit.
Yeah, Rockstar is back in the news. As it seems like they're being accused of union busting. After firing over 30 employees that seem to be unionizing or at least congregating in a Discord channel, I think it is here, or a Slack channel. I'm trying to see where it says this at. They were in a private trade union chat group on Discord who'd either signed up for IWGB membership, or we're thinking of doing so. That is the Independent Workers Union of Great Britain. We've talked about them recently as well. But yeah, that trade union group is accusing Rockstar Games of union busting after reportedly firing over 30 employees across their offices in the UK and Canada. Of course, Rockstar denies the charges. Claiming they were fired for gross misconduct, which is very convenient. As they say here in their statement, Rockstar has just carried out one of the most blatant and ruthless acts of union busting in the history of the games industry. This flagrant contempt for the law and for the lives of the workers who bring in their billions is an insult to their fans and the global industry. Take-Two claims that's not the case. We strive to make the world's best entertainment properties by giving our best-in-class creative teams positive work environments and ongoing career opportunities. Our culture is focused on teamwork, excellence, and kindness. Rockstar Games terminated a small number of individuals for gross misconduct and for no other reason. As always, we fully support Rockstar's ambitions and approach. So, yeah. That seems very convenient. These people all happen to be a member of this specific group chat on Discord. That seems very suspicious.
Yeah. Pretty sure they could go to court with this, couldn't they?
In the UK, probably.
Yeah, because this seems like you put this in front of a judge, you would say like, yeah, this seems like a pretty open and shut case of attempted union busting.
Yeah. About to see if they do lawyer up for this. About to see if there's any further developments on this, but yeah. That'd be interesting to see.
Yeah, definitely.
But yeah, there's your Rockstar news of the week. We got more Nintendo news, particularly that involves them winning a lawsuit against this person, Jesse Kayan, who faced over $1 million in potential damages when Nintendo sued him for streaming allegedly pirated copies of its games ahead of their official release. When they initially issued copyright strikes against his channel, he reportedly responded by trolling the Mario Maker and sharing ways to pirate its games, which is always a great way to go. He has now lost that lawsuit and owes Nintendo $17,500. The court issues an injunction preventing defendant from infringing Nintendo's copyrighted works, including by streaming and from trafficking in Switch emulators, Nintendo's proprietary cryptographic keys, and other software technologies that circumvent Nintendo's technological protective measures. The district judge wrote in their order. The only thing he didn't grant Nintendo was its request to confiscate and destroy any tools this guy used to pirate Switch games. The judge called that demand too unclear and unreasonable given the lack of evidence presented in the lawsuit as to how exactly He had gained access to games like Mario and Luigi Brothership to stream them ahead of release last fall. But yeah, it seemed like he was not a great person in and around this court case, as he loved to post on social media things like, let's see, love y'all, capitalism is cancer, my channel's being deleted for sharing gameplay videos, this is your reward. Which, like, yeah, doesn't seem like they were gameplay videos. You were streaming seemingly pirated copies of these games ahead of launch.
Yeah.
And then essentially sharing how to do it in response to copyright strikes, which seems to reinforce that that's what you were doing. Apparently made threats to people as part of this. Let's see. And finally, on November 20th, 2024, after Nintendo's outside console emailed him the summons and complaint requesting he waive service and attaching the waiver form, he posted on Facebook threatening her, "Think I'm your husband, slut? Talk to me like you talk to him. I'll fuck you up." The next day, he posted seemingly acknowledging his evasion of service. "Should have done more research on me. You might run a corporation. I run the streets."
Yeah.
Which is like, somebody that actually runs the streets doesn't need to say that kind of shit.
Seriously.
And I think this is Facebook, so
uh-huh.
even doubly so.
Yeah.
So yeah, this guy, very clearly an idiot.
Yeah, very much an idiot.
So yeah, fun times.
Yeah. Like, for the record, I have no moral qualms about pirating Nintendo's games, but this guy was just a freaking idiot.
Yeah. Making it public thing is just begging them to sue you.
Seriously.
And now he owes a bunch of money to them.
Yep.
Luckily, not as much as they wanted. They wanted like $1 million, but yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So yeah, there you go.
Some people have way too much ego and way too much time on their hands.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's see. Now we got two showcases here. There's the Limited Run Games 3 showcase, which had a bunch of stuff in it. So they announced a bunch of physical releases they'll be having here over the next however long. You can find the list here of all that stuff. But the other thing is they announced a bunch of new releases they're working on of retro games, particularly they're following up Fear Effect with Fear Effect 2 Retro Helix for next year for PlayStation, Switch, and PC, so that'll be fun.
Yep.
That's the one that really had the sexy marketing for it.
Yeah, because main woman was unambiguously in a same-sex relationship with one of the other women characters, and so they really ratcheted up the sex sells type stuff.
Yeah. So yeah, that's a fun thing you get there.
Yeah.
Let's see. Also next year, they're doing a Slam City with Scottie Pippen Respect Edition. For PlayStation, Xbox, and Switch. So yeah, that's they kind of followed up the Michael Jordan action platformer thing with a Scottie Pippen game.
Yeah,
and yeah, it's okay. This is a FMV game for the Sega CD, Sega CD 32X, and MS-DOS on the PC. So yeah, it's not a game that really needed to be remembered, but yeah, that's a fun little thing you'll get to enjoy. So yeah, there's that. Yeah, I think that's what this is. No, this is one-on-one basketball. Okay. Oh, FMV basketball. Okay, yeah, no. A real interactive movie, not a computer-generated game, is one of the key features. You can see that. That's why that game was so good. We got the Blood Rain Definitive Collection, PS5 and Switch, which is, a collection of the first two games and that Blood Rain Betrayal.
Mm-hmm.
Fresh Bites, a remaster of the PSN XBLA game, the 2D action game, which I believe was really well done.
Mm-hmm.
For that. So yeah, that'll be cool. Yeah.
Yeah.
More ways to play those games.
Yep. Funny enough, because those games were never really like big hits either.
No.
Like they sold moderately well, at least enough to justify, you know, a whole trilogy, but you know, they were never like really like it was never really like an A-tier franchise.
No. But they're still pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of like a secondary DMC.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, speaking of FMV games, we are getting Prize Fighter Heavyweight Edition for PS5 and PS4 next year. That is a, you know, an FMV boxing game.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, let's see. Classic boxing action in true video with realistic instantaneous control. Yeah, and you got trainers, cornermen, referees, and hecklers shouting at you.
Mm-hmm.
Directed by Ron Stein, creator of the boxing sequences in the Rocky movies and Raging Bull.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, you're playing as the kid who has to fight his way through three boxers and then the champ.
Yep.
These are very... what was the Nintendo boxing series?
Punch Out.
Yeah. These are very Punch Out names. There's Honey Boy Hernandez, mm-hmm. Mega Joe Falco, T-Rex Hawkins, and Nuke the Duke Johnson is your champion. Floats like a stealth bomber, stings like a cruise missile.
Mm.
So yeah. That's one of those, and it's like, yeah, that's okay. Well, they got Michael Buffer in this game too. All right.
Mm-hmm.
It'll be fun just to see for the FMV stuff in there. So, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Then we got Little Samson for the PS5 and PC.
Yep.
And the Switch for next year. Yeah, this is... what was this on? It was on NES. Late NES. 92 in Japan. Yeah, so that seems like some interesting little... Probably action platformer kind of thing.
Yeah.
Like. So yeah. Interesting. Then we mm-hmm. got Sigma Star Saga DX, which will be out early next year.
Yeah.
They announced this a little while ago, but they're still working on it. And yeah, mm-hmm. seems like it should be very good.
Oh yeah. It's very kind of an old school sort of side scrolling shooter, shoot 'em up. With looks like some minor adventure elements in there too.
Yeah,
looks like a lot of fun.
Zelda meets like a shmup
mm-hmm.
kind of thing. It was a really neat kind of mix of those things for the GBA.
Yeah.
I had this game and enjoyed it a mm-hmm. good bit. So yeah, that's one worth checking out. Whenever it's out next year, this is one of WayForward's games.
Mm-hmm.
And they sort of follow this up by announcing that they are working on a new Shantae game, which they're calling Shantae 7 right now. It has some more silly name to it, but
oh yeah,
it's cool. Yeah, that'll be. Yeah, they say they want. We don't have anything to share in a while, but we hope you look forward to the game. So, yeah, that's cool. Look forward to that. Those games are all pretty fun.
Oh yeah.
So there's your limited run games 3 showcase.
Mm-hmm.
Some fun stuff there.
Yeah.
Let's see then for, I don't know if you got anything to add on that, Brandon?
No, not really.
So yeah.
Other than the fact that, you know, they definitely got some odd releases, but also some real treasures in here too.
Yeah. Then we got the ID at Xbox Fall Showcase.
Mm-hmm.
They had some interesting stuff as well.
Yep.
We start off with some horror stuff with Agni Village of Calamity,
mm-hmm.
Which is set in Indonesia.
Yep.
Which looks neat.
Which is definitely a place that is 100% prime for horror material, considering that country's history.
Yeah. So there's that. That's coming out next year at some point.
Mm-hmm.
Then they announced a Darkwood 2. That indie horror game is getting a sequel.
Mm-hmm.
So there's that. That'll be on Game Pass. And they announced Don't Fret, which is a rhythm horror game.
Yeah.
Like the big bad is like a weird creepy monster that has a cassette tape for a head.
Yep. There's like a lot of like, and it's it, and, yeah. It's really weird too. The tone of it is all over the place.
Yeah.
Parts of it comes off a little Bioshocky. Other times it comes off more like a Poppy's Playtime. Really, just everywhere.
Yeah. So there's that. That looks neat. Puppergeist is the other game they announced, which is less of a scary game, more of a little spooky thing that looks nice.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, this is like a rhythm heaven kind of game mixed with a visual novel.
Mm-hmm.
They show some segments there where it looks very much like the rhythm heaven thing of you seeing, you know, animations that are playing out a beat that you need to match for your own.
Mm-hmm.
Section or your where it's playing part of a beat and you need to match it to finish it off kind of thing.
Yeah.
You're looking for your dog that has somehow ended up in the doggy underworld.
Yep.
And all that. So yeah, that looks pretty neat. That's out next year for Xbox and PC. Then we got Oasis, which is the new game from 17-Bit Studios. It's kind of a dungeon brawler, I guess. Coming to Xbox, PS5, Xbox, and PC and Game Pass.
Mm-hmm.
Where it's kind of a physics-heavy game, so you're kind of swinging your sword around, literally, to do your combos and attacks and all that. That looks neat. Then we got Ungodly, which is... I think a free-to-play game.
Yeah, it's F2P, yeah.
It's kind of got like a dark fantasy vibe to it.
Mm-hmm.
And very clearly made by a studio that's trying to ape the Genshin Impact and all that, because like all the women are scantily clad and all that. So,
but just with a more Western design mindset.
Yeah.
Be honest, the way it's looking, it looks kind of like a PS4 game.
Yeah.
Doesn't Which, I mean, you know, it's not, not
anything.
Yeah, not saying it's a bad thing. It just, yeah. And, yeah, it's, like, really clear, like, what the designers had in mind.
Yeah. There's, like, one girl that's running, and it's, like, you can see they have her, I don't know if you'd call that a skirt, but it's, like, segmented in the right way, so the bits right on her butt cracks, so you can see her cheeks. Moving around, and it's like,
yeah,
I guess this is what you like to see, but
yeah,
I don't know that I needed to see that.
I will say it looks like all the female characters really are just like one character model with, like, you know, just different assets.
Yeah,
like it looks extremely uniform.
Yeah, almost in like a DOA kind of way.
Mm-hmm.
Where I could see that kind of being the thing.
Yeah. Maybe it'll end up being good. It looks all right, so.
Yeah, could be all right. And we got to see some more of Aphelion. This is the Don't Nod game that got showed off or announced a little while ago.
Mm-hmm.
We're just kind of in this snow environment.
Yeah.
We kind of saw more of it where the two main characters are trying to avoid this weird alien presence that's on this planet and trying to, you know, not get caught by it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if it's got like a nemesis or Mr. X kind of thing going on where it's kind of chasing after you throughout the game. But yeah, that looks kind of neat.
Yeah.
Then they had a Super Bowl, which seems like a very what if we did our own take on Rocket League kind of thing.
Oh, yeah.
Where you're controlling these Very like free to play anime kind of characters, archetypes that are have their own like abilities and such, like almost like a hero shooter meets Rocket League kind of thing. So they're trying to knock the ball into the net, and trying to, you know, psych out the goalie and all that kind of stuff. It looks all right. Seems like it's out now on Xbox and PC with some Game Pass benefit DLC to it. So that could be all right. I don't know.
Yep.
Then we got Sledding Game, which is a game I saw was on coming to PC. Where it's basically like a multiplayer hangout game, but you're able to, you know, sled down hills and all that. With a bunch of that kind of stuff to it. It's coming to Xbox as well. It'll be on Game Pass, so you can check it out there as well.
Yeah.
Just seems like a neat little hangout game.
Yep.
Then we got Routine, which has been in the works for like 12, 13 years at this point, and finally has a date, December 4th.
Yeah, this was a real surprise, because I remember hearing about this game back like in 2014.
Yeah.
It's been a hot minute. And apparently, I'm guessing like there was the reason it took so long was because the developers or whatever, they went through like this long period where like they all had to work on the game in their free time while they all got like day jobs and stuff.
Yeah.
So it took them a long time to get this thing finished.
Yeah. And so, yeah, it's got a very kind of retro sci-fi horror kind of thing.
Yep.
Sort of in the vein of like an Alien, where it's like, oh yeah, this is what it would have been like if we had, you know, landed on the moon and built a moon base in the 80s.
Yeah.
Never upgraded it.
Yep.
For all that kind of stuff, so yeah.
Because it very does have like that sort of retro, like cassette retro future type thing to it, where all the tech's like really blocky looking, and you know, like literally the weapon you're carrying around is basically a brick with a video camera on it.
Yeah. So yeah, there's that. That looks neat. Then there's Egging On, which is an indie game that got announced a while ago that looked really neat. A bit of Bennett Foddy kind of inspired platformer where you are an egg that is rolling around this environment.
Mm-hmm.
Trying to, you know, not take any hard hits or anything to crack your egg.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, when it happens, you have to start over. So yeah, that's coming to Xbox as well as PC, and will also be on Game Pass. I guess it's also going to be on PS5 as well, so that'll be out November 6th. So that'll be this week. So yeah, you can check that one out. And the last one I have here is Over the Hill, from the team that made Art of Rally.
Mm-hmm.
This is their next game where you're kind of doing more off-roading stuff with, like, you know, Jeeps and old-style trucks and all that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
That you can do solo, you can go with friends across kind of different kinds of environments where you might get stuck and have to have friends pull you out
mm-hmm.
of the mud and whatnot, so... that looks neat. That'll be out next year on PS5, Xbox, Switch 2, PC, and Game Pass. So that looks neat. But yeah, they had a few other things here that were interesting. Things like Dome Keepers coming to Xbox and Game Pass on December 9th. That's kind of a little bit of a tower defense slash like roguelike action game kind of thing. So. What else did I see here? They showed a little bit more of Invincible Versus and some new characters in that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they showed a little, they kind of had a deep dive into Mouse PI for Hire on the showcase after they announced their dates the week before. There's a little more extended gameplay for Planet of Lana 2.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of showing off some of the new stuff they're doing there. And Yeah, that's kind of it. Here, that's where they showed off some of the Vampire Survivors new update stuff. Oh yeah, this TCG Card Shop Simulator has come to Xbox early next year, as well as Game Pass. So I guess that might be hitting 1.0 sometime soon. I don't know. They just added... Yeah. I forget what they just added on Steam. I have it on Steam, and I forget what they just announced something.
Mm-hmm.
I think they just added, like, card scoring. So you can get the cards, and you can send them out to get scored for that. So, yeah, it's probably the best of those shop simulator stuff.
Yep.
It was the one that came before everything else.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, yeah, they added a scanner thing, so you can kind of scan the thing and order more, a little more easily. Mm-hmm. Versus navigating the store stuff on there. Yeah. I like that game a lot. I know that I need it on Xbox, but that's still neat. But yeah, that's the showcase there. I don't know if you have anything to add on that. Anything here you liked a lot?
Let's see. I will say Agni actually looks kind of interesting. I want to see how that turns out. Ungodly, like I said, it looks like it might be fun. I just kind of want to see where it ends up going, because I'll be honest, visually, it looks like a lot. I mentioned it looks kind of like an early PS4 game. It also looks like a lot of the like generic, quote unquote, adult action games that you can find on Steam. And Routine definitely is one I've got my eye on, considering how long that one's been, you know, in the oven. I am really interested to see how that one comes out.
Yeah. So yeah, there you go. That's your summaries of those showcases.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's going to do it for the show this week.
Yep.
But yeah, let me see what we got coming out this week. Yes, Satisfactory on PS5 and Xbox.
Mm-hmm.
Income's out on the Switch. The weird Australian. Animal Crossing, you know, Stardew Valley kind of thing. Hyrule Warriors, Age of Imprisonment. Siberia Mastered, Unbeatable. And I Hate This Place.
Mm-hmm.
So those are out this week. And yeah, as I mentioned, Egging On is also out on the 6th. So there's that. So yeah, got some interesting stuff coming out this week as we head into more of the holiday season. So yeah, thank you, Brandon, for joining this week.
Always.
Yeah, we'll be back next week with a new slate of news and new things to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, if you enjoy the show, for let friends and family know, they should check it out, and select strangers who are not going to taunt Nintendo with their piracy publicly to get into lawsuits where they owe them tens of thousands of dollars. So
yeah, seriously, dumbass.
Yeah.
You brought that shit on yourself.
Yeah. So yeah, thank you all for tuning in. Hope you have a good week ahead. We'll see you all next time. Have a good one.
Bye.